Former U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Regional Administrator Judith Inc. has been traveling to the U.S. Virgin Islands in Puerto Rico to help advise the territory's governor on safely cleaning up the damage left by Hurricane Maria. Judith joins us now by phone for an update. Judith, are you there?
I'm here. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
You're, of course, very familiar with the Virgin Islands from your seven-year tenure as the regional administrator for the EPA's Region 2, covering New York State, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. At this moment, do you feel that a full recovery is possible for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, and what would it take?
Well, it's going to be difficult. I spent 2 weeks in the U.S. Virgin Islands very recently trying to help address the many environmental problems caused by having two Category 5 hurricanes hitting the islands in the course of a few weeks. And the damage there is just overwhelming and devastating. It will take years to recover. I think it's actually much worse in Puerto Rico. But the really fundamental problem is climate change. We know that climate change doesn't cause hurricanes, but the warmer water temperature makes hurricanes more intense. Mm. And so what's really on my mind is, you know, the residents and businesses in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico will spend years rebuilding from Hurricane Irma and Maria, and then they are at risk of being hit again by a very, very strong storm. So I have a short-term concern about the massive amount of human suffering that's going on because there's no electricity for most residents of Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands. Puerto Rico's struggling with clean drinking water, and there's problems with sewage and Superfund sites and a long, long list of things that need to be addressed. But, you know, wouldn't it be tragic to finally get through the process of rebuilding and then have yet another hurricane hit? And by the way, the Atlantic hurricane season is not yet over. There's 3 more weeks left. That said, I think the islands can rebuild in a resilient way, but it's going to be tough.
I imagine it would be. Can you paint a picture of what life is like right now for the average Virgin Islander?
Sure. So there are 3 major islands in U.S. Virgin Islands. St. John is the smallest. There's no electricity there at all. They have not had electricity for 5 weeks. On St. Thomas, 10% of the residents have electricity. On St. Croix, it's a bit higher. So it means it's really hot, and if you have resources, you can get a generator, but that's run by diesel, so you spend a lot of time trying to track down and afford diesel oil to fill your generator. A lot of people get up very early in the morning go stand on line to get ice to keep their food cold, and the ice melts overnight, so you have to redo that every morning. There's a problem on St. John in that there's no functioning laundromat, so people can't do their laundry. A few very resilient women have started a small business of doing hand washing of laundry. On St. Thomas, none of the traffic lights work, so it's challenging to drive. The roads are all rutted out with not just big potholes, but trenches. There are broken utility poles and wires down everywhere. There is a curfew in place. Last week it was 7 p.m., not because of crime per se, but because it's really dangerous to be driving on the roads with no street lights in the dark when there's so much debris on the side of the road and so many giant holes in the roadways. I don't have any data on this, but in talking to people, I've also noticed a kind of sad family situation in that it's becoming more and more common that the dads in families will stay behind if they have jobs and also to repair their homes. And then the moms and the children leave the Virgin Islands and go stay with friends and relatives in New York or Atlanta or Florida. And because there's virtually no cell service, it's even hard for these parents and children who are separated to talk very often or do FaceTime or do Skype. You think that, oh, not having internet and phone is the least of our worries, but in fact, not having that communication link is a growing problem.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. Earlier today, you retweeted Antonio Paris, a Puerto Rican planetary scientist, astrophysics professor, and combat veteran who is handing out, among other things, solar-powered radios in Puerto Rico.
Right.
We hear.
And I've been working with Sierra Club. We're going to hand out hundreds of solar-powered lanterns that'll light things at night, and it has a cell phone charger in it.
Yeah, the importance of solar energy in this situation is really interesting, you know, in consideration of renewable energy on a more mass scale. Talking about the radios, at WOOC, we are an all-volunteer, nonprofit radio station, mm-hmm. and we feel that having a communication channel accessible for the people to talk directly to our neighbors is absolutely vital. What is the importance of communication right now in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands?
We need a WOOC in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I mean, one of the problems in the Virgin Islands is a lot of the towers and the cell towers are down. So I know one of the major radio stations is not functioning. Mm. One of them is, and it's pretty interesting because that's where people are mostly getting their news. The governor does a daily address to the residents at 5 o'clock, and a lot of people tune into that. But not having access to the internet easily means that people are relying on newspapers and radio stations, and community radio would be fantastic in the Caribbean, but it'll only work if there's electricity and if the tower is up.
Mm-hmm. Judith, you stepped down from the EPA in January when President Donald Trump took office. Since that time, Trump and his appointed administrator of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, have been dismantling environmental protections at an alarming rate. How scared should, you know, we as U.S. citizens be of, you know, this type of transition?
Well, it's a major, major concern in terms of protecting health from air pollution and water pollution and making sure that there's action on climate change. I mean, one of the most poignant experiences for me when I was in the Virgin Islands, and, you know, my role is incredibly modest, and I was privileged to go down for a few weeks to lend a hand, but I saw the immense human suffering every day, and I couldn't read full articles, but I could read headlines that while I was there, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt was dismantling the Clean Power Plan, which was the premier EPA regulation to reduce carbon emissions from fossil fuel power plants. And I was just so saddened by that and struck by the juxtaposition of seeing so many people, particularly low-income people, struggle after two Category 5 hurricanes have hit, and then reading about EPA attempting to repeal a really important climate change regulation. So the timing of the Trump administration on climate change could not be worse. And it pains me to say that Scott Pruitt is the worst EPA administrator in the agency's 47-year history. So what this tells me is that the real leadership on climate change is going to have to come from ordinary citizens, from local governments, from our institutions like churches and mosques and synagogues, from colleges to high schools, state government, and not just only renewable energy businesses, but every business that uses electricity should be purchasing renewables whenever that's feasible. So, you know, it's really tragic the way the Trump administration is tearing apart the EPA at a time when we need them most. But it's also a real call for every other level of government and and civic society to rally around the climate change issue. My goodness, you look at the hurricanes, you look at the terrible wildfires that are plaguing our neighbors in the West, you look at drought conditions in parts of this country. Climate change is not something to worry about in the future. It is here now. Mm.
And Judith, you know, we got, let's see, about 2 minutes left. So real quick, could you tell us, one, how you think the Trump administration, you know, is, you know, good or bad, addressed the concerns of the Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands? And, you know, two, how can our listeners, you know, help support the Virgin Islands' efforts to rebuild their city?
Yeah, so in terms of public support, you know, I think the most important thing is for everyone to call their member of Congress and say that you want to prioritize environmental protection in the hurricane supplemental bill that will be on the floor in Congress in early December. So you may not think that, like, for instance, Congressmember John Faso and Elise Stefanik and Paul Tonko have a role on the hurricane, but they really do, because they're the ones who are going to be voting on how much money to provide to the territories and also Florida and Texas. And they're the ones who are going to decide, do we rebuild relying on solar and wind and geothermal, or do we just use federal tax dollars to prop up the old fossil fuel clunky electrical grid? So number one, call your members of Congress or write to them. Secondly, some good groups worthy of support. There's a community group in Puerto Rico that I have tremendous respect for. They're called Enlace, E-N-L-A-C-E, and they are accepting donations through the Maria Fund. And also Habitat for Humanity, their office in Puerto Rico, will be involved in rebuilding in both Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands, because housing and rebuilding housing is a really, really big concern.
Thank you, Judith, for joining us and for all you're doing to help alleviate the continued suffering in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Tatiana and Melissa. It's been my pleasure. Take care.